Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, everybody. Sharon and I will be talking about how to support community nurses or nurses working in the community. We're going to dip in and out of the resource Transition to Community, which was developed with the QNI. So Sharon will talk in depth towards the end of the presentation about that. But before that, we just want to highlight as to why this came about, really. We'd had a number of people saying that they'd been working in the community for a number of years and they maybe hadn't had an update in a particular area. And there were also new people new to the community who maybe didn't know where to go to find out how to do a certain referral or to, what other agencies there were out there working in the community. So as a result of that, this resource was put together. And as I said, I'm not talking much about it now. It will be discussed much, much later today. So looking at community in its broader sense, community nursing, working within education, it's something that I've had a battle with throughout all of my years working in education. I have colleagues saying to me, what is so special about community nursing? And my response is always, it is not special, it is different. And I think this has been alluded to so many times this morning. You know, there are different skills that are required. There are transferable skills that people will have coming from an acute setting. Excuse me for using the acute and community phrase. There will be some transferable skills, but at the same time, there will also be some very, very unique skills. And I think this is what is so different about working in a community. Many people have said this morning it is a privilege, and it is, and it has its ups and its downs. So looking at the community, we've got a very changing landscape at the moment, and there have been changes over the years, but as one of the speakers said this morning, this really is the time of radical change, and a lot of changes are happening. Things aren't stagnant, things are not going to remain still, so we have to move with that, but we also have to prepare our workforce. Now, I need to say from the onset, what we're talking about here is not an accredited program or anything. It's a tool that we've actually put together to support people that are actually working in the community setting. So it's not taking the place of anything. It's not taking the place of any training or education. It's a support tool to assist people that they can dip in and out of. So there are a number of departments' documents. They're nearly all saying the same thing, but this one that I looked at was actually a document that was written around a local population. And these were some of the key questions that came out of it. The document is Who Will Care? And the questions they're asking is, how will we care for communities? And how will we care for ourselves? Now, if you just take those two questions, you need to start thinking, okay, well, you know, what is the workforce going to be like that is going to link to these two questions? What came out of that report, which has been said on numerous occasions as well this morning, is this increased collaboration. It's mentioned constantly, health, social, multi-professional, multidisciplinary. And the sharing of data. Now, we haven't got the answers to this, but we're just trying to show you how we can maybe assist people to utilise this information. And our one aim is to support people working in the community, support patients at home in order to prevent them from going into hospital, because apart from cost, you've got the anxiety, you've got the quality of their living. And if we can prevent that happening, then we are doing the right thing. The other document that I looked at was the Health and Social Care Bill, which really is saying very similar things, looking at clinicians at the centre of commissioning, talking about more effective care and the empowerment of patients, the increasing demand for health and social care, and the impact that the health and wellbeing boards have. So you may be saying, well, what has that got to do with the resources? All of this is going to have an impact on the workforce, the kinds of people that that are going to be employed, the skill mix, dare I use that phrase, that is going to be utilised out in the community setting. So I'm just going to let you look at that question for a minute. Do the workforce requirements out there, you know, does it require a professionally qualified health and social care workforce? I can hear some of your minds going at that question. But I think it's something we really, really need to think about. And where I've said, you know, professionally qualified, I'm looking at all of the specialist community practitioners that we know about, but then looking at our healthcare assistants or assistant practitioners, whatever name they are known by, can we work together? Can we actually provide, going back to those questions that I mentioned under the Who Will Care document, who will be caring for those people out in the community? So when we were developing this resource, these were the kinds of questions that we were asking ourselves about how do we assist maybe a healthcare assistant to empower patients to take responsibility. Now, I don't mean that to sound patronizing by any means, but you know, we talk about empowerment. Student nurses are taught about it from day one, and we try to encourage that with our students. So you know, if we have a healthcare assistant going into somebody in the home, what can we do to enable them, to empower that patient to be able to maybe become more independent? The workforce also, I know I'm almost teaching to the converted, and you are all very aware of this, but if you can think of somebody new coming to work in the community, would they have the answers to some of these questions? Would they be able to understand the diverse populations that we're all working in? Would they understand the recognition of complex care that some of our patients need? And do they understand local health profiles? Do they know where to access them? How do they get the information? And at the same time, maintain a quality of care for the patients that they have been given responsibility for. Having looked at those questions and those skills, I use that word skills very, very broadly, we ask ourselves then who is responsible for actually providing the education and training. Again, I know that you're all very aware there is a big difference between education and training. This tool that has been developed with the QNI is a tool. It's not an educational accredited program. It is a tool to actually assist people. So looking at the responsibility, Lisa this morning spoke about the role of HEE and the LETBs, and we as universities have a responsibility as well. We recognise that we can't train the whole workforce out there, so this was an addition to whatever training, education is provided within organisations, and it would be, Sharon's going to talk much more in depth, so I don't want to say what Sharon's going to say about it, but there are so many more opportunities for them to develop themselves as individuals and gain a greater understanding of how to care for those complex patients that we've been talking about. So I think I'll pass you over to Sharon now to actually talk much more in depth, so hopefully it will all make sense.
Thank you. Yes. said I'd give a little wave to all my students. I just go like that. Okay. All right, there you go. Done. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the actual resource. We worked together with the Q&I on this resource, as Agnes has already said. It doesn't actually seek to replace any of the additional things that you could have around learning in the community. So it's not to replace journals or online, any other kind of online resource. It's just something to help people to access, should they need to, as an additional. And the need really arose out of the Q&I's Right Nurse, Right Skills campaign that happened back in 2012, where nurses actually said they wanted to know where they could access information about community and community nursing. And so we dined out on that really and thought, okay, we're going to write this resource. And then also we were lucky enough to have a survey that went round to the Queen's nurses as well. And 172 Queen's nurses were actually surveyed to support the way this actual resource was written. So the aim of the resource, which is up there, is that it's an online learning resource to help participants understand the differences of delivering care either in the home or in the hospital setting. And to really just to begin to try and explore some of the clinical knowledge and skills required for community nursing. Not saying that they haven't got them already, but just to think about how they're going to transfer those skills into the community setting. So our target group for this particular resource was newly qualified nurses and nurses moving, as we said, from hospital to the community, either permanently or on a rotation. Those that were just not quite sure about whether they wanted to work into the community, so people that just wanted to have some more information and to update themselves, already live working in the hospital but thinking, I might like to go and work in the community at some stage. And then also for hospital-based outreach nurses to have a bit more understanding of what the community was like. What we did actually find as well was that as we surveyed our Queen's nurses, there were also Queen's nurses that had been working on the community for some time who said that they quite liked the resource because it was a dip-in, dip-out resource that they could use if they wanted to just update themselves on certain aspects of community. Primarily written for qualified nurses, but we also thought it might be useful also for healthcare assistants and nursing assistants working in the community as well. We have got some learning outcomes that went with the aim, and the learning outcomes are all about raising awareness, demonstrating an understanding of, not having any kind of critical analysis or in-depth understanding, just raising awareness of what community nursing is all about. So, how it was developed was that we had 10 chapters, and we kind of thought that the resource could be worked through if people wanted to over a 10-week period, but they could also just go into one chapter and have a look. And the 10 chapters covered three main sections. The first one was just thinking about working in the community, and there are two sections in there. One is, what is community nursing? And the other one was, how do I make the transition? How do I think about what skills I've already got and how I could maybe transfer them into the community? What we did find when we did the Q&I survey was the amount of people that actually came back and said, I lack certain skills. There are certain things that I think that I haven't got that I would like to have in the community. And they were real practical skills that we thought that people came with already. So it was things like venipuncture, catheterizations. Wound management was a big one. That was one that came back. And that the percentage of nurses that came back from the survey, something like 78% people saying, I would like to know more about skills, which I thought was quite interesting, really. The second section is about working in the community setting. And this was a section B, was covered over about 6 weeks, we think. And it was covering things like working safely in the community. It's a patient focus around adults and long-term conditions. Then we had a section where we had a midpoint reflection where we were going to get nurses to come back and reflect on the learning they'd done so far. That takes up one of the weeks. Then there's some work around team working, working with vulnerable groups, and how to support carers. So that's section B. And then section C was about thinking about the future. And in this section, again, run over about 2 weeks, it was about thinking about things in the policy context, how do I keep myself up to date as a community nurse? And then starting to think about how I developed my career in community nursing and thinking about going on to perhaps doing something like the specialist practitioner qualification. So whilst doing this resource, we thought it was really important that all people, while they're on it, could be able to identify a mentor or somebody that could support them whilst they're actually on the programme or dipping in and dipping out. I think this is really important because a lot of the format that the chapters take, and I will show you one of the chapters in a minute, it's about reflection and reflection triggers. And we didn't want this just to be where the nurse went on to a programme like this or went and had a look at the resource but didn't talk to anybody about it. Because everything that's within the resource has come out of the Q&I survey. So it's things like case scenarios, exercises, and just trigger points where people can start to develop and have a discussion with their mentors in practice about issues that might be affecting them. And then we've given them the option of a reflective journal if they would like to write one while they're doing this course, or doing, it's not a course, it's a resource. What they could do is either have, we developed two things. One was an e-portfolio, which we put onto Google Mail, where they, if they were that way inclined, they could go in and develop their own portfolio. And we thought this would be good for any kind of other professional development they want to do, and they could invite certain people in to have a look at the e-portfolio if they wanted to. And then the other way was that they just wrote it down. They reflected how they were feeling in practice at a particular time. And we do hope to evaluate the resource at some stage. So what we're going to do is every time somebody comes into the resource, if they want to, they can leave some feedback and information about what they think of the resource, because I thought that was really important. So that's my bit, I think. Do you want to go back to the final one? Do you want to have a look at the chapter? We can do that now if you want, yeah. Show you what it looks like. This is super. I've only just seen this myself, and it's fabulous. I've just taken out one particular chapter for you to have a look at, but they're all in PDF, so they can be downloaded at any stage if you want to, but they all have a very similar format throughout. So I don't know if you could scroll down and have a look at it. I think you have to scroll down there. So Section B is about working in the community, and it's about safe working practices. Every single chapter has got a bit of an aim and just what we'd hoped people might get as a result of looking at this particular resource. If you can go down a little bit further, it then goes on to talk about rights of entry as a community nurse and what you do in certain situations. Yeah, I think. Then there's some information about a personal checklist around your safety. There's things about what you might wear in the community, depending on where you work. I think. And then it goes on to talk about, in some instances, you might find it safer to visit a patient in pairs. And it gives some information about how to keep yourself safe. They're very general overviews of things in the community because we're very aware that different policies in different areas are doing different things. Then there's a scenario sometimes, a little bit further down. And then you might have a possible action to the scenario. But what we're saying to people is that you don't just look at the scenario. What you would do is go into practice and speak to your mentor and say, do you know what, I've just landed in at someone's house and I can't get in. You know, I've come to the front door, I couldn't get in. I know there's a policy and we've discussed it, but what were the other, you know, what else could I have done? How could I have maybe, done things differently? So there's a possible action. Then there's a reflection trigger point, which is the trigger point that we'd hope that the person would go back and reflect in their journal. And then each section has a summary at the end, summarising the chapter, and then with some web resources or references at the end so that they can go ahead and do some more reading should they want to. And then there's a section for notes at the end if you want to write things up. I don't know whether you can go back to the main page and then I can show you what the whole resource looks like. I think if you go back to, sorry, the web online page. Web page.
The Q&I, I think.
Yeah, so if you go back from that page and back again, I don't know if it will let you back again. You have to keep going back, I think, for a little bit. Or you might just be able to click up the top. If you click on to transition to community at the top, I think that might bring it back to first page. That one, yeah. That's it. That's what it looks like when you come into it. So it's got an introduction and all the chapters are there, and they're all a PDF if you want to go in and have a look at any of them. And do you want to go? That's it. Sorry, I'm resource content. You've got another slide. No, I think Agnes has got one more slide.
I have.
We've got two more slides. Gosh.
Right, well, really, I think that what Sharon has just described to you will actually support all of this, really. I don't have really too much more to say, because I think that if people are working through that resource, it's going to feed into the social value. It's going to enable them to actually utilise their correct skills. They will be identifying areas where maybe they need to improve some of their clinical skills, as Sharon said. And by some of the questions that we've put in the resource, it will make them question things like the diversity of services and how it actually meets the local needs. And that really, really is it. The rest is open to you. We're waiting for the eggs to be thrown or I don't know, whatever your reactions are to it. So.
Great, thanks very much. Obviously, just as a chair, I'm going to take the privilege of asking how once it's launched, will people access it?
Sorry?
How once it's launched, will people be able to access it?
I would think it's probably word of mouth. We need to market it. Everybody here will go back, hopefully, to their bases and say there is, on the QNI website, there is this resource that will assist every member of our team to in their work.
And once people start using it and have some maybe issues as they emerge using it, will they be able to feed back those issues to the QNI? Is that...
There's an evaluation at
the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Every time somebody dips into it, and somebody might dip into it tomorrow, work through some of the questions and some of the trigger points, and they may not visit it again for another few months. Mm-hmm. But at the end, but there is an evaluation form and questions, which will feed back to the QNI, and that's how the evaluation of this resource is going to be carried out.
Thanks very much. Now, time for questions. We're going to take two or three at the same time, so the roving mics can. So there's one here and one here.
Hello, Bev Graham. I'm a professional team leader for district nursing in Gloucestershire. I just want to say I think this is an absolutely brilliant resource. I think it would be really useful for nurses working in the hospital who want to come into the community and don't know what to expect. And just as an example, I was recruiting last week for a community post, and I interviewed some hospital nurses, and it was a typical scenario, complex patient in the community, what would you do? And they all said they'd ring 999. and I thought at the time, what a pity there isn't something that they could access before they come for interview. So you've beaten me to it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, that's there. Direct them to that now.
But also for student nurses in placement as well.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. Well done. And I look forward to seeing more of it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Good. We've got another one here at the front.
Hello, Claire Green, District Nurse, East Berkshire. Again, I think it sounds fabulous, particularly for maybe newly qualified nurses coming into community. And it's obviously going to be on the QNI website. Is it just going to be a voluntary thing that people can do at the moment, or is the hope that it may become a requirement that staff working in the community or moving out into community would have to undertake?
I think it's based on the model that we used to use at Bucks New University, where we would encourage people to come on a transition to community module. Unfortunately, the funding just dried up for that particular module, and I know some of my colleagues have had similar issues. It's not as in-depth, but certainly I do think that it's an opportunity for people to think, is community for me, and to work through all the issues. And I think it will enlighten people a little bit to whether or not community nursing is what they really want to do. So I mean, it would be lovely if it, you know, became... Certainly, I think if someone contacts me and says, I really want to go and work in the community, I would probably direct them and say to them, why don't you go and have a look on all the different, you know, aspects of community and see whether this is what you want. So, yes, definitely. Mm.
There's another two questions at the back. Mm.
Hi, I'm Libby Horridge. I'm a Deputy Manager of Liverpool Community Health. I've been responsible for a big recruitment drive in Liverpool. We've taken on about 40 staff nurses over the last 18 months, and we've developed with our development mentor something similar in the form of a preceptorship. But this is ideal to support that, really. So I have to say, I've just actually photographed it on my iPad and sent it to the team so they can start looking at it, and I'll certainly provide some feedback for you as well. We've just taken on our first 5 training assistant practitioners as well, which I feel might have some use for as well as our students. So it's actually quite refreshing to see that, because it's just built on what we've been doing in Liverpool as well.
Yeah, that's good.
There's another one right at the back. Right at the back, near the windows.
Hello there. My name's Sue Elvin. I'm nurse consultant for district nursing in Camden. And I just wanted to thank you and the Queen's Nursing Institute for developing this, because I'm sure, like many other areas, we have huge problems with recruitment and retention of staff. We have very few qualified district nurses. And just recently, we've had a really successful recruitment campaign, and we've taken on 8 Band 5 community nurses, 6 of whom are brand new qualified nurses. And I know we're delighted to have recruited permanent staff, because you cannot get agency nurses. You know, we've got the money, unusually enough, but we just cannot get agency nurses who are appropriate community experience. And it puts an awful lot of pressure on those of us leading the teams and the qualified, the more senior nurses within the teams. And you want to spend the time, but I think the caseloads are so massive that this sort of resource is something that I really welcome. And I was also thinking, you know, we facilitate an awful lot of students who I think just think they've landed in hell a lot of the time, because everybody's so busy, the lists of patients are so long, and whilst, you know, all of us are committed to not work in a task-orientated way, actually to get round 15, 16 patients, it's very difficult to, you know, for people to maintain the holistic approach that's really required to work successfully. So I was also thinking it would be really helpful for the students, and certainly I spend my life sort of, you know, I'm like a Market Street seller. Have you ever thought of working in the community? It's a fantastic place. So thank you. And I think it's really important that there is a facility where we can feed back our comments and in some way kind of link up this support, so that, you know, maybe we can help with, you know, we've got plenty of real life scenarios if you're short of those. And I think it's excellent.
Brilliant. No, thank you.
I mean, that's certainly not a group that we thought about, but just as you said it, I was thinking that the resources that are at the back of each chapter would be absolutely ideal to be directing your nurses towards, most definitely, if they, you know, that way inclined, about all things community, which would, you know, probably save you a bit of time. I mean, I think there is a plan that we will keep them updated, that, you know, they've written recently, but certainly to keep them updated as we're going along. So that's good to know. Yeah.
And the positive thing about it too is that you've rightly said that, you know, you're doing 16 visits a day. So you're not going to say to your newly recruited Band 5, oh, sit in the office and you can read the resource, because that won't happen. But, you know, you get a motivated member of staff, you know, a couple of hours of an evening, they can log on, they can do it at their own time. And I think that will really motivate them and give them more confidence. So thank you for your comments.
Are there other questions?
I'd like to probably just add to that is that it is really not a static resource, in the sense that it wouldn't be just that you read it and sit down and don't do anything with it. It would be that you'd need to go back and speak to your mentor and your other qualified members of staff in the office and wherever to raise some of the issues. Because when you said that you had some real-life scenarios, all the scenarios that are in the resource have been given to us by our Queen's Nurses. So they're all live situations, things that actually happened. I mean, then we got them through. I could giggle at some of the things that some of the people were saying were happening in the community. So we've put them in. So there is a bit of humour in there as well. I think it's, and that's important, because we know district nursing is all about humour at the end of the day.
As it gets rolled out, do you envisage that local areas will introduce more local demographic data and more local contacts, perhaps? I mean, is it amenable to kind of that individual?
Nothing's impossible, but I think what it certainly will do, it will make those people that are accessing it go to their local areas and actually find that data themselves and know how to access it. Whereas currently, many people don't know where to get data.
And to add to that, within the resource, I keep remembering things. It's a while ago, we
wrote
it. But within the resource, the other thing it says, it always says, please adhere to your trust policies. Please go back and read your trust policies and discuss them with your mentor, which is the most important thing. Yeah.
It would be good if we could come out with some kind of key messages as a result of either listening to this or how you can adapt it. Has anybody got any views or anything they would like to contribute to the session? Yes?
My name's Maz Marsham and I'm Clinical Lead for Health Access in the Community Learning Disability Team in Bromley, and Agnes is probably going to guess what I'm going to say, is how, obviously it's focused on district nursing, but is there scope in the way that it's been designed to append some more specialist or some examples that relate to community mental health nursing or community learning disability nursing?
Yes, most definitely. We thought long and hard, actually, when we started to develop this, and we thought, are we going to be looking at the broader community workforce and take on allied health professionals, health visitors, school nurses, etc.? But because of the crisis that is occurring really within district nursing, we thought we would keep the focus with district nursing and their teams. However, the way it is written is so almost generic that it could be picked up by a mental health practitioner in the community. If you take the chapter that Sharon showed a few moments ago about working safety in the community, that will apply to every professional that's working in the community. So it can certainly be adapted to any of the other disciplines, learning disability. Yeah, definitely.
So if I get some guys working through it...
Sorry?
I could get some guys working through it and give
me
feedback
and send us,
on that.
Definitely. Thanks.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Has anybody else got anything that they'd like to add? Yes?
I've just seen that look. I'm Debbie Quinn, MS specialist nurse in the community and also nurse advisor for the MS Trust. It's just to say, from a comment when I had my first degree student out with me, she was absolutely petrified of coming to the unbedded area, because that's what community is called now for the degree course, is bedded and unbedded, isn't it? And I actually think for student nurses, this would be really good for them to have a look at, to really see what the community is about and give them a bit of an understanding, because I do feel, despite everything, lots of nurses go into general nurse training hospital. And we are getting more and more out in the community and spending time with us. So I actually think other universities need to be made aware of it, because it may well help with some of these students having a better understanding of community work before you even put out there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we all know too that if you have a questioning student with you, it actually makes you go away and look at things and maybe look at things with fresh eyes. So it can only really be good and support the practitioner.
Another comment at the back?
Mary Saunders from South Bank. I'm just interested to hear the last comment. 40 years in nursing, and I started off with an integrated hospital and community nursing programme. And I think it's very interesting that, certainly at South Bank, but probably in other places as well, we've had pre-registration primary care pathways that haven't been commissioned. You know, we've run them, and then life's moved on and they haven't been commissioned. So it's really interesting to hear that maybe we're moving full circle again and we need to think differently about how, you know, we do commission for the things. Because it would make a lot of sense to have much more community involvement. Although I think if we could crack getting nurses into general practice, then we would solve a lot of the problems.
I have a solution to that. We need to start a soap opera called Holby Community, which really, really like gets engages young people to think, yeah, this is what I want to do.
It's your next project.
And it's cool. Yeah.
I'll play a part in it.
Have we got any other comments? No? Can we just thank Agnes and Sharon for a really positive contribution?
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.